cold, and those of you who couldn't come out, and you may be listening online, we really appreciate it as we try to strive and share God's word. Let me give y'all, and I think and I know a lot of you all are doing this, God has placed given us the opportunity, I'll put it like this, with the technology, that we can reach people with the gospel that we don't even know. We don't have to go knock on their door. We don't have to do all that. He's made it very, very easy for us. So just think, if all of us put some positive scriptures on Facebook every day, maybe some of that will drown out some of the, some of the bad news and the bad things that's going on within our world. And as John was talking about this morning, we are that, as at least Kenny in the Bible class, we are that light, and God expects us to shine. As I was considering these two verses in studying this, I came across a couple of observations and some assessments that I made about these two scriptures. It's very interesting that from the time of Jeremiah to the time of the Apostle Paul, humanity is still dealing with the same issue. And that issue is the same issue that Adam and Eve had in the garden. And they chose the lie rather than the truth. And I think that's going to be the case with humanity until the Lord comes. That folks are going to be more ready and willing to follow things that are false and follow things that are not true instead of following the true and the living God. Those are emphasis statements, the true and the living God. Secondly, the statement themselves that God is the true and living God, it implies that there are gods that are false and dead. That's a contrast to that. There's only one true and living God, but there's a lot of false, as John was talking about this morning when he mentioned idols, and he said, well, I don't have time to get into that this morning, but we're going to get into that this afternoon. I want to make a note here. I didn't talk to John about what he was going to say, and John didn't talk to me about what I was going to say. It just happened that way. So it must be lessons that God wants us to learn from his word. So there are a lot of false gods and dead gods. They are pretenders to the crown. Think about brand names. Brand names like Gucci and some of y'all know Michael Kors. And by the way, my granddaughters knew who Michael Kors was when they was like 6 and 7 years old. They were going like, Michael Kors. I'm going, is that a new movie? Or that's new Disney? I didn't know who it was, but brand names. Brand names have that problem. That a lot of their goods and a lot of things they make are duplicated and it's not the real thing. And the people are buying those things thinking they're getting the real thing, and they're not getting the real thing. That's just an illustration what we're talking about when we're talking about the true and the living God and those that are false gods, and in actuality, they are dead. There are some cases that prove this point in Scripture. In Judges chapter 16, verse 23, y'all probably going to be familiar with this. Judges chapter 16, verse 23 says, and the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God had delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. Now, if you're at that scripture, Judges chapter 16, I want you to drop down to verse 28. Judges 16, verse 28 says, and Samson called unto Jehovah. Who's Jehovah? The true and the living God. And said, O Lord Jehovah, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house rested and leaned upon them, the one with his right hand, the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead that he slew at his death were more than they that he slew in his life. Let me tell you something about these scriptures here. Dagon, the idol god, did not deliver Samson into the Philistines' hands. That's what they thought. Dagon was a false god, a false idol, and Dagon is actually dead. He ain't got no ears, he ain't got no eyes, he can't see. In other words, he can't answer your prayers. Samson was where he was and in the predicament that he was in because of what Samson did, contrary to the will of God. I think that's a lesson for us, that God is with us. God loves us. He cares for us. He instructs us. He guides us. But when we go outside of the realm of God, the true and the living, and we go outside of the realm of Scripture, expect this, a lot of trouble. And it might even kill you. It might lead to your debt, whatever you up to and whatever you're going to do that's contrary to the will and word of God. There's another illustration that shows this same thing. And I'm going to just paraphrase this one. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in chapter 18. Y'all remember the contest that Elijah had with the prophets of Baal. Baal is the false god. And they were supposed to see who's the real God. If the God that they call out to bring down fire upon their particular altar, which they separately built, then that would be the true and the living God. That's going to be the proof. Well, the scripture says about the prophets of Baal is they cried unto Baal from the morning to the midday to the evening. They cut themselves. They slashed themselves. They cried. And they just called out to Baal. Guess what? Baal didn't answer them. Y'all know why Baal didn't answer? Because he wasn't real. He ain't real. That's a figment of some person's imagination. And whatever form they made him in, they formed that. They made that. And so Baal didn't answer them. But when Elijah got up there and called on the true and the living God, guess what happened? Fire came down. When Samson prayed to Jehovah, the true and the living God, guess what Jehovah did? Jehovah gave Samson the strength to do what he asked him to do. Because you see, Jehovah, the true and the living God, he sees and he hears and he knows. And whatever power you have that's spiritual, that's where it comes from. It comes from the true and the living God. It don't come from no place else. Idols can't answer your prayers and cannot come to your rescue. They are false and dead. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of idols out there. I think of it in these terms. When God says, and he does in these two texts, he does throughout Scripture, that he is the true and the living God, I want you to understand and see the scope of that statement. That means that everything that's outside of the scope of the true and the living God is false and is dead. And it's not really going to give you what you're looking for. And most folks, brothers and sisters, what are they looking for? In actuality, they're looking for really the fruit of the Spirit. Y'all know we're studying that on Wednesday night, right? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and all of those things. You're only going to find that with the true and the living God. A lot of folks are looking for peace in their lives. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the peace, but it's not like the peace of the world. My peace I give unto you, not like the peace that the world gives. That's a different thing, and that's a different peace. It comes from the true and the living God. So everything that's outside of the scope of the true and the living God, if you want real love, you got to go to the true and the living God. If you want real hope, you got to go to the true and the living God. If you want real happiness and joy, which most folks are looking for these three things, happiness, joy, and love, and peace. That's what folks are looking for. But in the things that they go to try to get them, they can't deliver. The house ain't going to deliver that. The car ain't going to deliver that. The bank account ain't going to deliver that. Nothing physically or material going to deliver that. Those are spiritual things. And those only come from the true and the living God. So think about the scope of that. The true and the living God, you're going to either follow him or you're going to get tangled up with something else that's false and that's dead. And they're not going to fulfill your inner desires and your inner moanings and groanings. They're not able to answer your prayers. That's very narrow, brothers and sisters. The true and the living God is very narrow. There's no room outside of him. Everything outside of him, everything that's contrary to him it's false and it's dead. In other words, brothers and sisters, it's an empty promise of a lie. Y'all remember what Satan told Eve in the garden? You should not surely die. Everything will be good. You're going to be like God. You're going to know this. You're going to know that. Empty. False. And it led them to death. That's the only choices we have. That's the scope of it. So what are some of the idols we worship in our society? I'll just briefly go through some of these, but it involves a whole, it's a lot, brothers and sisters. When you look at the idols of the Old Testament, I started to Google this, but I forgot. How many idols did the ancient world have and serve? I bet it was in the millions. I bet it was that number of false gods, false idols, people are praying to, people are giving an offering to, people are worshiping. And just like John said this morning, it's false worship. Those things are not going to garner you what you're seeking and what you're truly looking for. So here's the first one I think we need to understand and know. Colossians 3, 5, and 6 says, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. False god. Cleanliness, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. How many folks you think in this world are wrapped up into those things? The majority of them. The majority of people in the world are wrapped up into these things right here. And that comes under the heading of greed. People will do anything to get more. And they have enough to live their lives 20 times over, a lot of them. But they want more and more and more and more. And guess what they're going to do to get it? If they got to step on you, they're going to step on you because they don't care. That's the god of greed. That's who they serve. That's their idol. And then there's materialism. Again, I want more and more and more. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 is a very interesting chapter when Solomon tells us the things that he tried to find out, what really satisfied him. What would satisfy his soul? What would satisfy his yearning? And as John pointed out this morning, why am I here? What benefit am I going to get and have? And Solomon went through all this stuff, right? Materialism. He said, everything that I thought about, I did. Everything I can get, I got. And the conclusion of the matter was none of those things fulfilled him. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Why? Because there's a judgment day coming. There's a day coming that God gonna hold everybody accountable. So you can disavow him. You can follow false gods and idol gods. You can follow materialism. You can follow greed. You can do all of that. One day you're gonna have to stand and have an account for the things that you've done in this body. Here's another one. Pleasure. If it feel good, do it. That's the mantra of this God. If it feels good, do it. Don't care about your family. Don't care about your friend. Don't care about who it's going to affect over here. Don't care about who it's going to affect over there. As long as it feel good to you, just go ahead and do it. And nobody can't tell me what to do. That's a true statement. But there's going to be some consequences and some ramifications for following that false idol God. They can't fulfill your desires. The God of pleasure. That's why a lot of folks are in ball stadiums right now instead of in a worship service, worshiping the true and the living God. Where are they? Ball stadiums. And watch how much the attendance fall off during Super Bowl Sunday. Maybe it should have been Super Bowl Monday. But some folks actually put those things before the true and the living God. They do that. Why? They're following the gods of pleasure. They're following the gods of materialism. And the fourth thing I would have us to know is all manner of false religions. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me, where does that put Muhammad? Where does that put Allah? Are they true or are they false? Where does that put Hinduism? Where does that put Buddhism? Y'all know how many people follow those things? What does that put Catholicism? It's a form of it, but it's not the real thing. Because a lot of that is created by who? It's not created by God. You're not going to find none of that stuff in Scripture. You're not going to find pray to the saints in Scripture. You're not going to find that. You're not going to find pray to Mary in the Scriptures. You're not going to find that in the Scriptures. Because it doesn't come from the true and the living God. It's not a part of Jesus' church and the doctrine of Christ. It's not part of it. You can't do those things by faith. You know why? There's no Scripture for it. We can't have a Bible study on those things. They don't exist. It's not in there. And that's your first problem to begin with. So if you're following some religious organization, and I said all manner of false religions, and some of them put on the mantle of Christ, but it's not Christian. John talked about that this morning too. It looked like it. What the Scripture say about Satan? He can make himself appear like an angel of light, where even the elect would mistake him for the true and the living God. That's how serious it is. So we have to be very, very, very careful, brothers and sisters, of what we believe and what we follow. It's going to matter. In the end, it's going to matter. And all of these things I just enumerated here for you, all of that is outside of the true and the living God. So all of it is false. All of it is dead. None of it's going to get you to heaven. And none of it's going to fulfill your life. Here or in eternity. And none of that going to answer your prayers. Only the true and the living God. And so the gospel was preached in Acts chapter 17. It's the last scripture. Beginning in verse 16. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 16. I'm going to do a reading here. I might make a couple of comments along the way. But I think the scriptures, this sermon that Paul preached to the idol worshipers in Athens, I think it stands on its own, really. Now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he observed that the city was full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue and the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present and some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers as well were conversing with him. Some were saying, what could this scavenger of tidbits want to say? Others, he seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities. Talking about the true and the living God. Because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, when you talk to folks in a denominational world, you talk to folks that's following other gods and all those type of things, what you're going to tell them according to the truth, they're going to think that's very strange. They ain't never even heard it before. That's because they don't know the scriptures. And that's what Paul is going through here. We want to know what these things mean. Verse 21, now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling of and hearing something new. So Paul, that's an opportunity, stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that you are very religious in all respects. They're very religious people. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything that is in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath, and all things, whatever you have, whatever life you're living that life because the breath that you're breathing, it comes from the true and the living God. Whether you're right, wrong, indifferent, the rain falls on the just and the unjust just alike. That breath, your life, comes from the true and the living God. That's what Paul is declaring here. So the God that made the world and everything in it, Since he is Lord of heaven, does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he served by human hand, as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and he made from one man every nation of mankind. Here's another truth. There's no such thing as races. Now, folks get caught up in all that. Races, ethnicity, they different from us. And Satan used that opportunity to do what? Have folk hate each other, kill each other, do all kind of destructive things to each other. And all that's been going on since the Garden of Eden, brothers and sisters. That's why Cain killed Abel. And you know what? It's going to continue to go on until the Lord comes. But that's how they are in darkness, and that's how they are blind, and they stumble, and they can't even see where they're going. I'm talking about the people that's contrary to the true and the living God. And so we all come from one person. That's Adam and Eve. If you're religious, if you're a person that says, I'm a Christian, and you believe what the Bible teaches, and you believe what the Bible says, then the conclusion you have to come to is that every human being comes from Adam and Eve. Every human being. So there is no difference in us as far as humanity goes. We're all the same. And if you think there's a difference, that's Satan's lie. Go ahead and chomp on that bit. And watch how destructive that gets. And we can look at the history. Throughout history, humankind has done a lot of wicked and evil things based on those things. Just what Satan wanted them to do. Because they are contrary to the true and the living God. So he given their appointed times, having determined their appointed times, the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek. Let me see, I think I got off here. That they would seek God, if perhaps they might feel around for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. You want to meet the true and the living God? Pick up a Bible. For in him we live. Here we go, brothers and sisters. For in him, not in idols, not in greed, not in materialism, and any other thing else we mentioned, not in pleasure. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said. For we also are his descendants. Therefore, since we are the descendants of God, we are not to think that the divine nature, true and the living God, Jehovah, is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by human skill and thought. So having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now proclaiming to mankind that all people everywhere, they should do what? Repent, because everybody's guilty. There's not a person that can raise their hand and say, I haven't sinned. And brothers and sisters, all it takes is one. Sometimes we get an idea or the thought in our head that, I'm not as bad as that person because I don't do these particular things. But do you do one sin? Are you involved in one sin? That's all it took for Adam and Eve to be kicked out of that fellowship with God. And whenever you do that, you move contrary to the true and the living God. You're moving away from God. And that's, again, what Satan wants us to do. Now, notice the last part of this. He wants everybody to repent. Why? Because he has set a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all people by raising him from the dead. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to scoff. That's what folk do sometimes with the gospel. Others said, we shall hear from you again, like Felix. I'll hear you at a more convenient time. So Paul went out from among them, and some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius, and the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Now, somebody might say, Paul said, all you got to do is believe. Yeah, believe is foundation to that, because if you believe, there's some other things you're going to do. Now, go to Acts 18. Go to Acts 18, verse 8. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, as they listened to Paul, were believing and being baptized. And folk will tell you today baptism don't have nothing to do with your salvation. If you follow in that, you find a false god. It's contrary to scripture. It's contrary to the truth in the living God. It's contrary to the truth. It is a lie. So as the old folks used to say, you better stay on your toes. You got to be on your toes. You got to be aware. You got to know what's going on around you. You got to know what's happening. You got to know who's who. Because you'll get sucked in into the falsehood and the dead gods that all of humanity is running after. And they're rejecting and refusing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which God, Jehovah, has provided for all humanity. Because you know, brothers and sisters, God from the beginning wanted humanity to be in fellowship with him and to live eternally. Satan engaging with Adam and Eve and they ate of that fruit destroyed all of that. Jesus is the reformer of that. Jesus gives us the opportunity to be in the presence of the tree of life again and to give what God has always wanted to give us, life, brothers and sisters, eternal life, brothers and sisters, an abundant life, brothers and sisters, in this life and in the next. But you're only going to receive that through the true and the living God and Jesus, because Jesus is part of that plan. And the question becomes, this food for thought, either we serve the true and the living God or we're serving dead idols. Jesus is the only access to the true and the living God. John 14:6, Jesus says unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. Here's the question. I say, who will you serve? But I should say, who are you serving? Because you're serving somebody. And if it ain't the true and the living God, it's somebody else. And whatever that something or somebody else is false, is dead, and it's not going to bring you eternal life. And it's not going to bring you peace and joy in your life. The true and living or dead idol. See, the choice is yours. It's always been yours. And God ain't never going to take that away from you. And we as Christians, brothers and sisters, we should never take that choice away from people. All we do, love them, treat them right, share the gospel with them, that's their choice. We ain't forcing nothing on nobody. That's why Jesus said, if they don't accept you, you stomp the dirt off your feet and you move on. You can't force this. And we shouldn't be trying to do that, trying to make folk do something they don't want to do. It's not going to work. Even if you get them in the baptistry and they don't really want to be there, they ain't going to stay. Because it's not what they really want and it's not what they really believe. This is what true believers do. You got to believe the gospel message. You got to repent, just like Paul said in Acts 17, Acts 2:38. You got to confess Jesus as the Son of the living God, Acts 8:37. You have to be baptized into him for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the fellowship. That's the life-giving spirit that God gives to only those that have been baptized into Christ. Christ is the answer. He's the life. He's the truth. There is no other. Stop running behind Allah. Stop running behind Muhammad. Stop running behind Hinduism, Buddhism, all this other ism, theism, and all that other stuff. Atheism. None of that is going to give you what you really want and what you're really seeking and what you're really looking for. That's only in the true and the living God. Stop fooling yourself and live a life of faith, revelation. Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So the question is, do you want to live or do you want to die? Or you want to just continue to be the way you are and how you are and follow all these false things that you think going to bring some hope and love and joy into your life, and it ain't going to do nothing but bring destruction to you. It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your family. It's going to be destruction. And when Jesus comes, it's time for accountability. And the wrath of God is going to be on a lot of people. because they fail to love and believe the truth. You've heard the gospel. What are you going to do? That's the question. Don't say, I got tomorrow and I got next week. Let me think about it. You might not make it. So the day of salvation is today. It's time for you to respond today, like right now. So we pray whatever your desires is. If you're a Christian, you're failing, you're weakening what you should be, you need to be in the assembly of the saints. You need to be fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in Christ so we can do what? Feed you, encourage you, help you, aid you along the way. We ain't on this journey by ourselves. Somebody said to me, this is the last thing I'm going to say. Somebody said to me right before we began, ain't a lot of people here. Yeah, that's because we the few. Ain't going to never be a lot of people. Right? It was on the remnant with Israel. There's only going to be a few, brothers and sisters. Are you going to be in that number? That's the question. So we pray that you'll come as we stand and sing the invitation song. Thank y'all for listening.